You don't know who I am, and you're kind of a guest into our stream space today. Welcome. My name's David, and I'm the pastor of The Hive with Eve, and so cool to have you sharing this Easter Sunday with us, and so special today to be gathering and to be around this wonderful message of Easter. You know, today is a global collision of several things. Yes, it is probably the most significant day in the calendar of the Christian faith today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Today as well collides with the first Sunday that churches ever, that I'm aware of, have never been able to actually meet in a building. So today is kind of historically different for the fact that probably everybody who's in touch with some kind of a church space today is just like you. They're on the other side of a screen, and this is the significance of our Easter Sunday, the first digital Sunday we've ever had like this. And then, of course, thirdly, the reason why this is happening is because of the coronavirus. Some people call it the corona crisis. And here we are with, if you like, corona colliding with Christianity. And that's an interesting thing, isn't it? I wonder down the track a little bit whether we will still consider this day as and think of this time as BC, before corona, and after corona, or whether we'll still have this kind of mindset to history that it's before Christ and after his resurrection, before and after. But today, I want to talk to you about what it is for a message to be sent and for a message to be received. And many years ago, according to the Christian faith, and those of you who are listening online today, I'm recognizing you might have different positions today, and that's all right. Some of you might have been following Jesus for a while and might kind of be tuned into the Christian message. Others of you might be listening to me and thinking, I'm not quite sure about Jesus, who he is, what Easter really means. And for those of you who are in that space, thank you for joining in. Just love you to listen in and to consider what we're sharing today. But many years ago, 2,000 years, in fact, God pressed send on the message. He pressed send. He pressed send up there in heaven. It wasn't one of those send buttons that we're used to looking at all the time now. But nonetheless, the Bible says that God sent his son, and God sent his son. He actually sent a messenger who was the message. He sent someone who actually was the embodiment of this message of love, that Jesus pressed send. But the problem that I think we face today, and I've thought about this as I've considered what it is I could share with you for a few minutes, I wonder if today we face the risk of just being completely overwhelmed with messages that get sent to us. They tell me that if you are a baby boomer, and that's me, then back in the day, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we were used to receiving in a lifetime the same number of messages that now get sent in 1 year. In other words, there's a lot of messages getting sent towards us. Do you feel like you're getting overwhelmed or dumped with information, communication, things to filter out, things to listen to? I guess the challenge for us all is to know what it is to listen to and what it is to filter out, what it is to press delete on. even now, as we've been doing this transmission, the other challenge we have, of course, is just messages just dropping out. And do you get annoyed by that? I do. If you're trying to download something and then it just sort of freezes, or you get those spinning coloured wheels on your computer, do you ever have that? Oh, I hate that. That's so annoying. Or if you just get this sort of buffering signal that tells you just keep waiting, keep watching, the message will catch up. That's so annoying. But you know what? Marketing people call this the problem of banner blindness. Banner blindness. What does that mean? It means that we are so used to filtering out messages that we end up getting blind to the messages that we're really meant to receive. And that's a challenge in this day and age. That's a challenge right now for us, I think, as individuals. I wonder whether you feel like this. Maybe you could even type in some comments or just talk to the person in the room next to you. Do you think at the moment you are bombarded with messages? And do you think that you could actually filter out and say, have a think about this, what do you think is the main message of Christianity. What do you think is the main message for today, this Easter Sunday? What do you think it is that Jesus actually represented and came to say? What is the message? What is the message that God meant to transmit to us when he pressed send? I love history and I love stories. I love stories of how in our own country, Australia, where we're listening, some of you, maybe some of you are in another country, welcome if you are. But I love this story. In 1792, there was a boat that actually caught a shark just off Norfolk Island. In 1792, a long, long time ago, this boat was called the Golgan, and the boat pulled this shark out of the water and cut it open, and in that shark was a perfectly preserved prayer book. Isn't that fascinating? This prayer book was quite fresh. Not one leaf of it was defaced. And the book had been actually, I'll just read my notes here, had been inscribed with the name of a convict presumably lost at sea during the original voyage out to New South Wales. And his name was Francis Carthy. And it says that he was cast for death in the year 1786. And then he was reprieved at the same day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But he obviously didn't make it out. But his prayer book was preserved. Did you know there were hundreds, several hundreds of Bible scriptures that were actually on the first fleet that were sent out to our country? Lots of things have happened to preserve the message that was sent when God pressed send. But today, I wonder what you would describe as being the main message of Christianity. Maybe you want to write something down, maybe you want to type something in, but if you were to put into a soundbite, into 3 words, 4 words, 5 words, what would you consider to be the main message? You know, Jesus was actually a master communicator. I feel like I need to constantly learn about communicating, and I love how Jesus was so concise and so powerful in how he communicated. He said incredible soundbite statements. Think of this one: "It is finished. It is finished." Isn't that something that you can kind of grab and consider and hold on to and think about? It is finished. I think about the angel who met some of the disciples, and they said to the disciples, "He is not here. He is risen." That's a good soundbite. He is risen. He is risen. One of the key messages that I think has stood the test of time, and it's survived out of early church history, and it's actually become something today that is known as the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is, I think, an incredible description of the core message of today, the core message of today. Before I read it to you, I'm going to read to you from the book of Corinthians, and I think we might have this on the screen. And if you feel like sending out some affirmation messages, and you know Richard Freeman's number, or you know Tim Allen's number, message these guys, because they're the ones out in the tech space who are making scriptures come onto the screen. But in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says this. I'll just find my notes. Paul says that wrong scripture. My apologies, I cannot find it in my notes. But is it on the screen, Tim Allen? The 1 Corinthians scripture? Thank you. So how are we going out there, everyone? Did you get back online after our brief dropout? We consider ourselves experienced now, because it takes these kinds of things to get some runs on the board and get used to doing online church. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Notice how it keeps on saying according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, another name for Peter, and then by the 12. And then after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Paul is describing the key, I believe, the key message that is what Easter is about, that Christ died for our sins. Verse 4, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. But then even more than that, significantly, it records that he was seen. In other words, his resurrection, the fact that he rose again, conquered death, came back to life, was actually verified, not just by one person, Cephas, not just by the disciples, 12 people, but he was seen after that by over 500 people. Think about that. Historically verified that Jesus did rise from the dead. That is the verifiable message that came out of the time when God the Father pressed send and sent his Son to actually conquer death, to die on our behalf, as a substitution for our sinfulness, and to find a way for us through faith in the work of Jesus to actually receive relationship with God, to be called sons and daughters. What an incredible message. What an incredible message. What an incredible message. So here's what the Apostles' Creed says, and I love it. It's so beautifully clear. I believe. I love how those two words, they're so significant. I believe. And this is the invitation for us today, freshly, to say, I believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and in Christ Jesus, his only Son, our Lord, who was born from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, who under Pontius Pilate was crucified and buried on the third day and rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's just reading to you the first part of it. But it says, I believe, I believe. I can remember only weeks ago meeting somebody on a train just down the road here at Pennant Hills, and this man said to me, complete stranger, he said, do you believe in the coronavirus? Do you believe in the coronavirus? And he, in other words, he pitched the question, I think, in this kind of a way, in terms of seeking my belief on this event. Had the message of the coronavirus penetrated enough into my own thinking for me to say I believed? How long did it take for you, I wonder, before you actually first thought to yourself, this coronavirus is actually going to affect me? That's the moment of belief, I think. I can clearly remember when Eve and I, it was only weeks ago, we were in Bowral and we'd had lunch in this nice cafe. We were getting out of Sydney for a break, as you do, and had lunch. And then I had a phone call from another pastor in Sydney. And in that phone call, there was a conversation. And all of a sudden, me and the coronavirus and church and the coronavirus became all of a sudden a lot more serious and a lot more impactful for what I thought it would do to us and to the need to be online and the need to change how we did things. And in that moment, we then went shopping in Bowral to Aldi, and all of a sudden there was nothing on the shelves, and we thought, I think this virus is going to affect us. That is the moment of belief. I put it to you that belief is something that actually impacts not only your mental thinking, but it actually impacts how you feel, and belief impacts then what you do. And I wonder if you can remember what you were doing, where you were when you first began to take coronavirus seriously. Alongside of that, I ask you the question, can you remember the moment when you may have first said to yourself, I believe in God the Father. I believe that he sent his Son. I believe that when he sent his Son, he did it for me. I believe that I'm loved. I believe that I'm cherished. I believe that I don't have to anymore struggle with guilt or fear or pain, that Jesus actually gave a gift to me to be released from that. I wonder if you can identify with what it is to say, I believe. I'm going to share with you two things as we close that I think are keys to helping us to walk in belief, helping us to actually receive the message that God has sent. And I'm going to share with you just from one scripture, and it's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, Romans 10 and verse 8 to 10. Romans 10 and verse 8 to 10. If you know me, some of you do, not all of you do, but I'm just, be quite honest, I'm actually really bad at technical things. I often joke that I was born with a technical bypass. It's kind of a weak joke. And then I also tell people I've got two brothers who are engineers and I gave them all of my technical prowess and donated it to them so they could be skillful in those things that I'm not skillful in. It's completely false, let me tell you. But it's not false to say I'm poor at technical things. But I have learnt that there are keys to uploading things at a higher speed. Isn't that what we want to do in this tech age, to actually just get our data quickly, right? So here's what I think. In the same way that we can have fast ways to download technical messages, when someone back there in the world of the internet presses send, and just like now when we have pressed send on a message and a signal to this camera that I'm talking to, we want this signal to come through to you clearly. Sometimes there's lag. If there's a bit of lag today, we apologise. We're working on that factor. But there are ways that we can speed up the transmission of the message as believers so that we can receive it more quickly. And it's in this scripture, two keys to help you receive the message at a greater speed, that you would be more quickly impacted by that message. Here it is, verse 8 of Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So on this Easter Sunday, I want to ask you this question. Is the word near you, or is it actually in you? I'm going to say that again. Is the word, what is the word? The word is the message. The word is the living word, Jesus, who is both the message and the messenger. Is the word near you, or is it in you? The key for the word to be in you is described clearly in the scripture, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, there are two simple but powerful keys for us today. If you are sitting thinking to yourself, how much am I living in this message of Easter Sunday? I want to say to you that you may have believed once, but to believe and to have the word in you is actually to recognize that this word is a living word. The word that has been sent, the message that has been sent, is not just a once-off word that came and you believe it once, but because the message is dynamic, that means our belief should also be dynamic. What does that mean? That we continue to believe. So how can we believe and confess? It works like this. Simply that we say to ourselves, you can say it in your lounge room right now as you listen to me, you can say it to the person that you're with, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in him, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, born from the Holy Spirit, born to a Virgin Mary, crucified, buried for me, on the third day, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven. The power of it is this. We can believe, but as soon as we say the words, as soon as we confess with our mouth, as soon as we actually verbalize our belief, something happens to deepen the power of that word inside of us. How does that work in today's climate, in today's economy? It works like this. You can look at the economic impact around you. You can look at the social and relational impact that is around you. You can look potentially at the employment impact. Maybe as I'm talking to you, you actually have lost your job or you've been laid off. Maybe today you've got health impacts for this virus. Maybe today you just feel bombarded with fear or with bad news or with all of the sort of messaging that's going on in social media. I don't know. Maybe today you're struggling with the change impact of this virus. Maybe today you're a mum at home and you're not used to having children at home all day or a husband at home all day. I don't know. But today the message is this, that we can confess the truth of Jesus, his life, the reality of what it is to be actually covered by his death and be released. And we can say to all these things, I can see those circumstances, but I'm going to confess that Jesus is still my Saviour. I'm going to confess that my God is still sufficient. I'm going to confess with my mouth. I'm going to say it out loud. I'm going to say it to those circumstances. Yes, there is economic challenge, but God, you're still on the throne. Yes, there might be relational challenges, but God, you're my strength. Yes, there could be some health impacts, but Jesus, you're my healer. There's something that happens when we actually say with our mouth the things that are in our heart. That is actually causing the message to be downloaded again and to affect us. This is what I call resurrection thinking. How wonderful. Don't we need resurrection thinking today? We need resurrection thinking. Resurrection thinking is thinking that says, you know what? I know I have a past. I know I have issues. I know I've come out of stuff that I actually, on a bad day, I might feel some shame for. But because of Jesus, my past is cancelled. Because of Jesus, that which is behind me is no longer affecting me. Because of Jesus, I'm set free from the past. Some people call this zero gravity thinking. And if there's one blessing I want to give to you today and just plant the seed in your thinking, plant the seed in your heart, is that we are called as believers to be zero gravity thinkers. What does that mean? It means that we actually live our lives as if we are not restrained by the past. We live our lives as if some of those natural laws don't actually affect us. We live our lives with an ever-expanding view of our future, not an ever-expanding rear view. Isn't that the way you want to live today? That we can have an unknown and a limitless potential as we press forward in faith. Why? Because we believe. How wonderful. Set free from our past, unconstrained by grave clothes, unconstrained by things that are holding us back. Things that once were considered to be impossible, with resurrection thinking, are possible. Someone sent us a message today to say, welcome to Miracle Sunday. That's what today is in Jesus' name. Today is a day of miracles. Today is a day to think clear, think free, think lighter than our past, and to think forward in Jesus' name. So I'm going to pray for you. And as we close today, I just want to give anybody who's listening, you might be listening and thinking to yourself, I'm not even quite sure what it is to even take a first step toward faith. Or you might think to yourself, I'm not even ready to open up my heart. It all sounds weird to me. I'm not sure where you are, but this one thing I do know is that you can actually have just a decision now to have an open heart. You can actually just make a choice inside of yourself, which is this: I'm prepared to be open. I want to seek. I want to be willing in this time of corona crisis. I want to be willing to consider the possibility of some type of a supernatural realm, some type of a God space. I'm not sure what language you would give to it, but I would just invite you to be willing to seek. That's all it takes, because the Bible promises that if you seek, you will find. And I want to let you know today that it's okay to not know. It's okay to maybe not be ready to believe. But what is not okay is to be closed and to just shut down, because that actually closes you off to the good things that might come your way from a good God. So I pray first of all for anybody who's listening now who is just in a space in their own lives, in their own hearts, where they're not sure, where there's more questions than there are answers. And I want to bless you in Jesus' name and just let you know that God is good. He knows you by name. He loves you so deeply. His heart is for you. He's not against you. And he wants to walk with you, and just day by day, moment by moment, and he's ready for you just to turn slightly toward that place of openness. And maybe you're a little further down the track today. Maybe you actually are saying to yourself, you know what? Resurrection, it sounds impossible, but if there's a God who can help me, a God who can set me free, a God who can actually release me into more of my future, a God who can help me to deal with guilt, a God who can help me to deal with shame, then I want that. A God who can love me, even though I don't feel lovable, then maybe that's you. And I want to let you know that simply it's what I was teaching you a minute ago. We believe in our heart, and we confess with our mouth. We actually just say the words, Dear Jesus, I thank you today that you came. And I want to be able to receive the message that God pressed send for me. I want to have an ability. I'm not even sure how I can get the ability, but I ask you for it to help me believe. And what I do now, God, it's faith. That's all it is. It's pure faith. I just make an expression with my lips. God, I want to trust you. And I believe in the gift of Jesus. And even though I'm not quite sure how it all works, I can pretty much see that Jesus was a great man. He was so loving. I believe in what happened historically, that Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and then he rose again. And I want to make a personal identification with what he did for me and receive his free gift now in the name of Jesus. And I say thank you for my pardon, and I thank you for my salvation, and I thank you for setting me free. Amen. Amen. If that was you, we'd love you to just in some way get in touch with us. There's a contact page on our website, thehypechurch.com. Maybe you know someone who you're sitting with or has invited you to watch this. Maybe you can let them know. I prayed that prayer. I want to take the next step towards having somebody help me and guide me in the early steps of what it is to be a Christian, how to walk the Christian life. We'd love to hear from you. And to those of you who are listening and you would say, David, I am a believer, I have already made that choice, then I want to bless you in Jesus' name right now with resurrection thinking, with a mindset that is for today. The message is dynamic. When God pressed send, there's still power in that message. It's not a once-off moment to receive. We keep on receiving and we keep on walking in it and we keep on bringing it into the circumstances that are today. So I bless you in Jesus' mighty name with resurrection thinking. And I thank you, God, that we can pray this with confidence and we can say we love you and we love you. Amen.